you're near, Batsy. I can smell the precious nectar pumping through your veins.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Me, Jeff. It's me, Jeff, from podcasts. It's
I
weird.
know, I know. You're giving me a real secret look right now. I'm really
It's
into
weird.
it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird
It's
that we're
like
meeting here in
conspiratorial,
secret.
yeah. Remember the whatever date of this is.
Nobody knows.
Are we going to bomb Parliament? Is that what time it is?
No words.
I'm not going to say no.
It's crazy that I have you here because you're never going to believe what time it is.
I think I've made that really clear by this point.
True. I don't know what I was thinking just now. Because it's actually time for another episode of
the Jeff Watch Batman.
Once again, you've destabilized me, taken away my security, made me feel like a fool in front of all of these people who I desperately want to respect me.
Your failures are your own. you have tarnished your own name in the halls of Valhalla.
Failures are your own, old man.
Tom, we are going to continue where we left off last week when we were talking about Batman versus Dracula.
That is an excellent place to pick up from.
The least suave Dracula we have ever
He's
seen.
The grossest, not the grossest Dracula, but like the grossest version of like debonair Dracula. He is fucking striking out every time.
Like Leslie Nielsen was more charming than this Dracula.
Yes.
That's the first movie I ever walked out of, by the way.
Dracula Dead, loving it?
Yes.
It's not good.
It is beyond not good. Very bad.
The staking gag is really good. That's the only good part of the movie. Let's move on.
Here we go. So the Batman versus Dracula is available in dollar bin DVDs, or also you can pay $2.99 to rent it across one of three platforms, either Amazon, Vudu, Love that Vudu.
So we can rent it from two hideous conglomerates or one conglomerate that is also probably hideous.
Probably, yeah.
Or just go on eBay, another conglomerate that is hideous.
Yeah. Where are the bones that Fandango has hidden? It can't be good.
We're all the shit in the drain trap, honestly, at this point.
Yeah. So when we last left off, we were making fun of Dracula for sucking. But
pun intended, you piece of shit.
He sucks so much.
You motherfucker, Jeff. You walked right into that.
But it was Bruce going, holding the fucking ladder up with lipsticks
with this grim look on his face, like he's really solving a puzzle. It's like, dude, my man told you his name was Alucard.
Tom, something I didn't mention last week that I should have is, imagine you're at that party and you look over and see Bruce Wayne holding up a silver platter in a mirror and it says Dracula with no context for that whatsoever.
In this universe,
you would think about that for the rest of your life.
It would, in our world, it would be like going to some incredible elite party and seeing Elon Musk do this.
Yes.
Like one of the world's richest, most influential man holding a platter that says Dracula up in a mirror and his butler behind him going like, ooh!
In lipstick, mind you.
In lipstick. Like he's writing a mash note for his girlfriend.
There's a 0% chance that you would not think about that every day for the rest of your life.
You would call every newspaper of note the following morning and be like, I think Bruce Wayne is losing his mind.
Yeah. Or you'd, if anybody has any investigative powers whatsoever, they'd be like, I'm pretty sure Bruce Wayne is Batman.
Because he's written Dracula onto a silver tray. I don't make that connection immediately, but maybe.
Well, people are disappearing.
True.
Like that's a big thing going on right
Bruce
now.
Bruce Wayne is the only Olympic level athlete that also has $1 billion.
Yeah.
Also true.
I think it was like, it's Tim Drake, and they also do that with Blake in The Dark Knight Rises, where Batman just goes, how did you figure it out? And the person is like, if you pay attention, it's not
hard. Really not that hard.
Yeah.
It's like it's like reading between the lines of like government press releases or even regular press releases where like somebody gets hospitalized for exhaustion and you're like, well,
they are exhausted, maybe.
And it's like, there is no troops in Yemen. And, you know, anyway, like, don't mean to
aren't
get
there. Aren't there, though?
And then three of them are killed the next day. It's like, oh,
Man.
You do learn to see through lies in like this in the media. So yeah, maybe somebody would look at that and be like, well, Bruce is obviously Batman. Anyway.
Yeah. So we start out where Bruce and Alfred are basically doing like extensive research to figure it out. But it's so funny because all they know is that they have to look up Dracula and vampires. And they rightfully say something that we were all thinking, which is, you're going to have a lot of work ahead of you.
Alfred says,
he's like, I don't know how to separate the wheat from the chaff, basically, like the fiction versus the nonfiction.
Right. There's so much vampire lore that it's like, well, yeah, I guess we'll try whatever.
I heard that there are some that are made of felt and they like to count things.
And there's some that if you spill something, they can't move until they've counted it all. They can't cross moving bodies of water.
Yeah, there's like so many things.
All the whack-ass vampire weaknesses. Like, yeah, they have obsessive compulsive disorder and they can't cross rivers.
Yeah, they glitter in the sun. Ooh, take that. Take that, Twilight. It's about time somebody brought you down a peg.
It's true, yeah. Yeah, take that.
So like Batman's like, I feel like maybe some of the things about Dracula may have been true events. And also maybe all of these people disappearing are probably because of Dracula, and that the numbers of vampires are going to grow exponentially into an army of Draculas.
Also, they very conspicuously can't say kill in this because they use these very weird euphemisms for it.
Yes.
Like at one point, Bruce says, luckily so far, Dracula hasn't slain anyone. And it's like, are they dragons? Is he Sir George? What is going on? Like,
thank God he hasn't unalived someone yet. Right.
He hasn't stolen anyone's life.
Oh, God. So
they never say kill.
Bruce is like, well, I have to find a way to cure vampirism because it's a disease or something. So we have to treat it. And they're like, all right, well,
reason that, like, well, it affects the blood. It's bloodborne. That means there may be a chance to cure it. His reasoning is pretty logical.
Yes.
Like, let's give it a fucking shot.
Like, and Bruce is like, he's like, well, there's no better place to go than a library curated by the amazing master of blood knowledge, I guess, Dr. Thomas Wayne. And it cuts to Vicky researching Bruce, basically being like, what the fuck is up with you, dude?
First, it cuts to two different close-ups of two different pictures of Thomas Wayne, which is just wild. A wild decision for this movie.
They love the painting of Thomas Wayne but also they use it in his obituary.
They do, yeah. Because when he says Thomas Wayne, they do like a close-up of a photograph in a newspaper, and then they do a close-up of like the portrait that they're looking. It's really... I wrote it down. It was weird enough that I wrote it down.
Vicky's like looking it up.
Okay, that's what it is. That's what it is. Okay.
And they're looking at the painting. They're walking by the big painting. And then it cuts to her looking it up. And she's like, wow, I can't believe all this shit that happened to you. No wonder you're trying to save the world with all your research and charities. The question is, when will you let someone rescue you? Mm. And I was like, Vicky, I think you might be like...
Are you getting that vibe from him?
Yes.
Like, Bruce doesn't have that vibe. Like,
the
he needs
savior vibe?
Or this person who needs to be saved.
Well, they address it. She addresses it with Alfred, which is that he's so busy trying to save the world that he doesn't have time to be a person. Like, that's what she talks about. And it's about the trauma of the loss of his parents. And so and that's why she's like, you're so busy trying to save the world because of the loss of your parents that you never let somebody save you.
Touching his lips on the computer screen.
She literally does that.
Yeah. She's really into Bruce.
Shocks herself. Shit.
Damn.
God, that static from the
fucking that bite. That kiss of passion.
That 2000s iMac monitor.
Oh, hell yeah. That 2004 fucking Yeah, I guess
the post Gemtone IMAX.
What were the IMAX were all the colored ones, right?
They were, yeah, but they were all like the Gemtones, and then they like pulled it back for after that was done. It would be like calling it the Extreme Computer. After a while, you're just like, these Doritos don't need to be extreme anymore.
It was a wild period for Apple. Anyway.
So we see just then the phone rings and she is shocked. And she's like, I'm on my way. And the next morning, we see that the big news was that a homeless dude was like, I saw a huge shadow of a bat. It's a bat, man. A big fucking bat.
It's a bat, man. I'm telling you, a giant bat. Yeah, yeah.
So she's reporting and she's like, well, you heard it here first. The reason that people are getting abducted is the bat. Man, I had a hiccup in the middle of that, by the
way. How fucking, you want to say it again?
The bat man. No, leave that in. Don't, okay. I see you were about to write down a timestamp. I want you to leave it in. Let I was going to write all the warts.
Okay. I was going to make us have a good show, but sure.
Nope. Nope. Fuck up my life.
Fine, you piece of shit. All right. Let's keep going.
So she goes, and Bruce and Alfred are watching, and Alfred spits out his fucking tea because they're so stunned. And it's like,
throws it in their lap, man.
And it's like, guys, you could have seen that this was an opportunity. You guys found out like 12 hours ago that Dracula is real. You're going to take some of that heat. You're the Batman.
Mm. Yeah. Dracula himself. Has he had that encounter with Dracula at this point where Dracula's like, you're using my image and that's really cool and I like it?
Not yet. We're about to.
Okay. Because he's okay. Yeah. So he doesn't know that yet in his defense.
He knows that there, I think he knows that there's somebody out there. He just hasn't confronted him about it yet. So
in fairness, Bruce really didn't select his image based on anything to do with Dracula really specifically, sure. But like, obviously he was thinking about it.
Yeah, it's so, like how two comic strips called Dennis the Menace came out on different countries at the exact same time.
Right. So I wonder like if Bruce is like getting real frustrated about like a case of parallel thinking where he's like, no, I didn't base it on you, you fucking bitch. I based it on Zorro. It was Zorro.
It's Zorro mixed with a bat that flew at me once. Scared.
I saw a bat. I got scared. Were you a kid? No, I was a grown up in my study and it crashed in my window.
I was 27 when that happened.
You're an adult man and a bat crashed. Through your window. Yes, it was really scary.
Tom, have you ever had a bat in your house?
No, I've had a bird in my house. I mean, yeah, not enough that I'm like, I'm gonna rethink my entire life and strike fear into the heart of criminality, but sure.
There was a tiny little bat that came into my house one time.
Mm-hmm.
And when they fly around in an enclosed space, well, it's like 3 a.m. It looks like some like a kite. It's like so big when it's flying around, and they're so small in real life. I was sitting there and I'm like, this is the biggest thing I've ever seen. It may have flown up into my wife's bedroom at the time.
We had a lot of encounters with bats while I was younger. They would, at my grandmother's house down in Georgia, they would swoop down when we would swim in the pool at night and drink from the pool. So I don't have a phobia of bats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bats are fine. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Like with a bat, like, I don't know. Like I'm not a huge fan of rats.
Yeah, you can't really get that. I mean, I don't know.
So yeah, like if yeah, you just like gave rats. A rat an, like a more mobility, and that's my concern.
Give
like,
rats rats with wings do your things.
I know it's not going to actively harm me, but also like get the fuck away from me. I'm also afraid of cockroaches, and those can't hurt me.
Oh, but they can, Jeff.
I mean, emotionally,
human beings are allergic to the shells of cockroaches. Did you know that?
I wouldn't know. Because get them away from me forever.
They're little plague spreaders. Anyway, let's get back into this episode.
Hey! Meanwhile, Dracula's got a fucking plasma screen TV in his crypt with cable, which is very funny to me.
Penguin must have brought it down there because there's a bit in a second where he's watching the... It's this bit, actually, where he's watching...
Hypnotized Penguin has bits.
Penguin is still Penguin. Like, he's hypnotized only in the sense that his goal has changed, but he's still fucking talking shit.
Yeah.
So, but it's this scene, right, where he's watching Vicky Vale on the morning news.
Yes.
And then he's like, I want it. And Oswald's like, oh, you mean the plasma? It's pretty fucking good. It's like a good TV. Yeah. Like, he thinks he's... So clearly Oswald brought the TV down there.
To be fair, in 2005, that was a $9,000 television.
That cost as much as a mortgage to get that.
You like house. It's a plasma screen.
TV. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Get it? Plasma.
Like blood.
He actually makes that joke. That's not a that's not a Tom and Jeff joke. That's a that's a Penguin joke.
I think we'd be a little bit better than that. But he's actually staring at the freeze frame of Vicky and says to himself, even her name possesses a mysterious allure.
Veil.
I think it's time to that we seek my bride.
It's a reference to, I guess, Beyond the Veil of Sleep or anyway.
Yeah.
You guys know the veil of life, the veil between life and death is what he's referring to. God damn it. I was trying to bring some fucking culture to this. Continue.
I also like the idea that this is actually going to be a red herring. That he sees Vicky Vale and he says, it's time to seek my bride.
Right, because we think it's going to be the Dracula thing where he goes after Mina, but it's not. Like, it's not at all.
I will add that Penguin looks at him and goes, oh, yeah, nice jugulars. Which, why, guys? Why? You didn't have to do that. Like, I know you did that because Penguin's a creep and that's funny to do, but...
He's a creep. It's his perfect Penguin thing to say. He would say nice jugglers, being like, you think he knows I meant nice jugs? Was that a thing when Dracula?
Do they know what that is back then?
Does this fucking guy know what that is? He better. I'll write it down.
What did you call titties in Crusades era Romania? What was that? What is that word?
It was like a real dirtbag thing for titties in your time. What would you say? Titties? Is it titties?
Is it titties? It should probably be titties.
It should be titties. That's a timeless
timeless titties we say. Batman is tracing all the disappearances, he realizes that the first attack was at Gotham cemetery,
there we go,
where a watchman who the one he fought had disappeared. After realizing that while he's doing that, Alfred is like vampire proofing the house and also all of Batman's arsenal. He's like rubbing garlic on all of the batarangs, and I was kind of like, it's kind of awesome.
I want to talk about this for like 20 minutes, but I think I can get it all out pretty quickly. The fact that Alfred drenches all of Batman's shit in garlic, all of his batarangs, so his smoke bombs are now garlic bombs, so Batman is running around smelling like spaghetti. He's fucking fighting Dracula, just smelling like a pizzeria on a kid's birthday.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I was so excited that Batman had his entire utility belt drenched in garlic, because he just
probably smells like Brooklyn in August.
He smells like a fucking breadstick just running through the streets.
Yeah, but you also got to mix that with the leather sweat.
Oh, man.
That like kind of BO stink that's going to come out.
He smells like a Fight Club at a Pizza Hut.
Yes.
I fucking love that he's drenched in garlic for this. It's so cool.
Like there's a wrestling match at a Little Caesars, like some indie wrestling promotion.
Yeah. Fucking CM Punk fucking fighting somebody at a Little Caesars at a CC's Pizza. Garlic bombs, Jeff. He reeks of garlic for the rest of this episode.
Functionality, like, baby.
You must keep this in mind. For the rest of this episode, every single scene that we talk about that Batman is present in, he reeks of garlic.
Just odorous.
You would see garlic smell lines rising above him like pig pen if he was a comic strip. Pen, like, it's fucking nuts.
Looking like Alfred's a whole commercial. Like,
I just fucking smeared garlic all over your pants.
In to help you defend, I pre-shit your pants.
And also, the funniest thing is that it doesn't actually hurt the vampires. It just kind of annoys them. That's the funniest thing about this to me.
Yeah, it does wallop a punch later. We're going to find out. It's almost like it's a defense dropper. Now, one of the funny parts of this, too, is that at no point in time, they do mention Christian imagery with the crosses, but they never once think holy water is a good idea. And I think holy water is probably significantly better to use than garlic.
They don't get into any religious implications of vampires.
Except for the crosses.
But they just say crosses. They do not say crucifix.
They do. That's true. They do avoid that. The cemeteries just put arbitrary T's on top of. Yeah.
For time to leave. Time to leave, Richard.
So Batman's just like, thanks. So he's at the cemetery and the fucking other Night Watchman calls Gotham PD and he's like, hey, Batman is fucking here. I do not want to become a lost one. Please get your ass over here. So Batman's just hanging out on a grave looking around and all of a sudden you just see red dots appearing like laser sights all over his body.
So many SWAT guys. And they shoot bullets this time, Jeff. They do not
shoot. They try to kill him immediately.
They do not shoot laser guns like they do in the TV show. These are gun guns in this movie.
He moves and they just start shooting almost aimless, quite literally aimlessly. Yeah. He is escaping through the city. He crashes through the window of a building. The police are chasing him in. And you see, we see this, and we've seen this in a lot of stuff, where he hides in a building, and as people are coming, he takes them out one by one, right? So
this was a cool sequence, yeah.
That we think this is happening. They're like, the SWAT team is in there, and just they're getting picked off one by one, taken out. So you're like, ah, Batman's doing the Batman thing. Turns out it is not Batman doing that at all.
It's been Dracula snatching them up the whole time. And they let that reveal lie for a bit before they reveal that it's not Dracula. So it's actually really cool. It's a really cool sequence. And it's this, I wanted to say this. I didn't mention in the last episode. This movie is actually a little scary. There are a couple of moments that are a little legitimately creepy.
There are brutal moments in this film too. Yeah. Like brutal moments.
Yes.
The fight scenes between Dracula and Batman are undeniably brutal.
Man, it's like,
we're about to talk about one.
Yes.
That is.
Yeah. Okay. Let's just do it.
Fucking rough.
Why he doesn't just kill Batman is beyond me.
Yeah. So Batman thinks he's just doing like expert stealth.
This is the thing. I mean, I guess I could save it, but I'll just say it now because I'm thinking of it. In all of his fights with Dracula, Batman is approaching it like he can just punch Dracula in the face. And in point of fact, he does punch Dracula a few times and keeps trying to, like, he's trying to fight Dracula like he would fight the Joker. And it's like, man, you can't foot sweep this guy. Like, you need to rethink what you do. But he just goes at it like, oh, this is just another, I'm fighting Clayface.
So one of the things that I noticed in here is that they treat garlic like kryptonite.
Sort of. They have to move away from the cloud, but it doesn't like harm them really. They just have to get away from it.
It weakens them.
Oh, is
like,
that
it weakens
okay.
them a little bit. And also they're not clear. Sometimes he uses legit smoke bombs. And sometimes it's garlic.
I thought it was
like,
always
they're
garlic.
Very not clear. No, I think he drops a couple of smoke bombs when he's in the cavern at one point in time. Like, that's clearly a smoke bomb. But either way. And then there are ones where they're clearly garlic bombs, but we'll get to that. So so Batman doesn't realize that a different eviler guy is taking these out until one of their guns comes flying out the door, because he's waiting for them to come up to the roof so he can like take them out.
Right. The SWAT team chase him through a dark building up to the roof. Yeah. And he's waiting on the other side of the door for them to all come up, and none of them come through the doorway. And he just sees one gun skip out,
scream, and then one gun come flying out,
and he looks into the landing and it's just a bunch of guns on the stairwell. It's a cool sequence. It really is.
No, it's great. Beautifully done, well crafted, well paced,
and scary.
So Dracula then is now on the rooftop and he goes, it seems that my legend has been influential. And Bruce just goes, don't flatter yourself.
I came up with this on my own. I didn't even look at any Dracula movies. I don't understand about.
I've never even heard of you.
This is distinct. This is a distinct intellectual property. You can't sue me.
You can't sue. I have lawyers.
Yeah. Oh, he does.
He also says, the big difference between us is I don't harm people, which, come on, Bruce.
Yes, you kick everyone in the fucking back, Bruce. That's your opening move.
You exist.
Yes, you
to
hurt
harm
people. Like, even in the gentlest interpretation of what Batman is, you can't deny that he hurts people. He punches people at the very least.
He plants boots in chests.
Yes. He fights. He beats criminals until they can't move and then brings them to jail.
It's so funny. And so there's a little bit of a yada yada where Dracula is like, why don't you come over to my side? You could have heightened senses.
You could
and
be a really bitching vampire, you know, with all the way you move and stuff. It's cool. The karate, it's really bitching.
Pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Immortality, it's pretty cool.
Pretty nice. He's pretty nice. And
Batman's like, I don't want to be a vampire. And he's
fair.
So I'm going to fight you, Dracula. And Dracula's like, cool. I'm about to beat the ever-living piss out of you.
I'm about to fight you like fucking Dracula, Batman. I am literally Dracula.
Yeah. So there's like, there's fights, and then there's like cat and mouse stuff. We also see now that Dracula's cape looks just like Mr. Sinister's cape.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a cape. It's a theatrical cape. It was a little Mr. Sinister.
It's like a ribbons cape as opposed to solid cape.
It's tattered. And then they do the same thing to Batman's cape toward the end for that last shot. Anyway, it is
designed to look like that as opposed to like ripped. Like it is evenly divided.
Right. That's right. Batman cuts his into like triangles. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really one of those things where I was like,
it's and a then Clark's I realized cape.
It's probably to make it easier to see which silhouette is which in the chase scene, maybe. I don't know. It looks cool either way. Batman fucking kinds to grapple. Like, there's a scene where Dracula kind of floats in the distance, like a building away, and he's like, you could have had, you know, he's like starts like kind of grandstanding.
It's this Bruce whole grapples
at him. And he just fucking slashes the cable. So Bruce falls. He does another one. He slashes that one. And then Bruce just eats shit into the ground. Tom, I am 100% sure.
Sam Raimi watched this for Spider-Man 3.
Oh, I was just going to say that he shit himself.
Oh, that too. It is very similar to the opening fight between Spider-Man and the Green Goblin in Spider-Man 3.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It sure is something. And, there's a scene, I forget, I didn't write down if it's in this fight or another fight, where like one of the things Dracula does is he just grabs Bruce by the back of the head and just like spikes his head into the ground.
He does it a few times. They demonstrate Dracula's strength by showing that he'll impact concrete and it'll just splinter and create a footprint. And he slams Batman into concrete, which should kill him. Twice, he does this.
Did you notice, and we're going to see this in a little bit, I think it happens in the cavern confrontation, they show you what the cross-section of Batman in Bruce inside
and his
the
mask,
how it looks like. And it's like, it's not, when it's we not, think of classic Batman, we think it's like formed to his face. It very much is not.
It is not. It's not skin tight. It's a helmet. Yeah,
it's like a helmet, which probably means that there's like padding around there to protect him from
assume
one would think. But there's also I think the way they establish his strength at first is that he just puts his hand on Bruce's chest and shoves him straight to hell.
He
puts his hand on his chest and just like gives him like a Bruce Lee 1-inch punch, and it sends Bruce like 30 feet back. It's very
like, fun. It's like fighting the Hulk. We're gonna get a lot more of that in the Joker fight in a second.
So Dracula retreats because the sun is starting to rise, and he's like, I'm going to fuck you up next time, bro.
Yes, you're lucky that you the fucking saved by the bell, bitch.
He's so rejected in this movie. He either forces people to do stuff, because every time he makes an offer to somebody, they're like, no.
He's a clown ass idiot. Like he fucks everything up and nobody's into him. Like he can't throw out vibes that anybody wants to ride. He's got no charisma, man.
Dracula's got no riz.
It's weird that this is a Dracula with zero charisma.
Yeah. Just that's his sexless boar.
That's his whole thing. His whole thing is his charisma.
Yeah. So Bruce gets back to the cave, whipped to shit, and Alfred's like, what happened?
I fucking fought a vampire, man. I don't know.
He just points over to the silver platter that says Alucard on it. He's like,
that's what happened. Should I call the police and tell them to pick up Dr. Alucard? No, Alfred. No, I feel like you're like three steps behind me on this game.
Yeah. Perhaps Alucard could be Dracula himself.
There you are. Yeah. There. Should I call Dr. Alucard to tend to your wounds? No, you definitely shouldn't call him. Alfred, we got to talk.
He's not even that kind of doctor, Alfred.
I think, he made that shit up.
Shall I call Miss Vale and have her fight Alucard for you?
Yeah. Let's do that.
You know what? Do that, Alfred. Whatever you want to do, Alfred. How about that? So later we see him having a nightmare. I don't know. Whenever they do nightmare scenes with Batman, I'm always like, this could have been done better, but it's fine. It's always to show that he's going to overcome whatever the problem is.
I wish more of the nightmares that we've seen of Bruce were more like the one that he has in Mask of the Phantasm, where he's weeping on his parents' grave who won't let him let it go. And he's like, I just want to be happy. And his parents are like, you can't. Because that's actually a nightmare that he would have. Because your nightmare wouldn't be reassuring you. Your nightmare would be an echo of your pathology.
Right.
So, like, I feel like that's the only time we've got a genuine Batman nightmare is in Mask of the Phantasm, when he's weeping on his parents' grave and they literally will not let him stop being Batman.
And that's him being like, please let me go.
Please let me stop being Batman.
No.
It's like, if we show a movie where if he has a nightmare where it's like, oh, scariness, and then Batman shows up, he's like, you, Batman, that's what I have to be, Batman. That's not a nightmare. I don't know. It's weird.
It is upsetting. It's one of those things where, like, that, and we talked about that too when we did the Mask of the Phantasm. It's the most realistic way where he's just like, why won't you let me go? And he's projecting their opinion about it.
Of course. Yeah. He's not speaking to his parents. Obviously he's speaking to his own pathology. It's weird that a 30-year-old animated Batman movie is the thing that did the most, like, unfettered, they didn't try to, like, spice it up. They're just like, this is his pathology. Here it is.
So in this one, the nightmare is he sees his parents get killed after they finished watching The Cloaked Rider.
Whatever the fuck that is. I guess that's a Zorro movie.
Yeah, they couldn't get Zorro rights. That's fucking Touchstone or whoever had it. Columbia TriStar.
Buena Vista.
Yeah. It was one of those, right?
One of them things.
Then we see, like, Batman as a vampire, which, like, attacks and kills him. They do the pearls. They do the pearls thing, but they do it so minorly that when it's used as, like, a big overcoming triumphant moment in the end of the movie, it doesn't work.
Right, because it becomes Bruce's talisman in the dream, but in order for it to be an effective talisman, you have to do that within the same story, and it's just banking on us knowing the pearls imagery from other Batman media. It hasn't actually done it in the Batman, either in the show or this movie. It hasn't shown us the fact that his mother's pearls were what the thief was after. We just know that from other media. So it's hard to make that connection that they want us to have when they didn't establish it in this movie, universe.
It's too preconceived information.
Correct.
I don't know. The symbolism is lost because they don't use it very well. But if they had mentioned it in the beginning of the movie, it would have held so much more weight.
Right. That's not quite right. I was going to say it's a little bit like showing the Velveteen Rabbit in something without context and being like, you guys know this, right? More people know Bruce Wayne's mother's pearl necklace than the Velveteen Rabbit, but it's still, like, in the same ballpark, I think, where it's like
Velveteen Rabbit was, of course, we all know, shot outside of a movie theater,
gunned down by Joe Chill outside of a Zorro movie. Jeffrey Dean Morgan tried to fight him off, but he got shot in his face.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Velveteen Rabbit had such a beautiful marriage too.
It's true. Yeah. Cut short. Yeah. The basis for the movie Ghost was his marriage to the Velveteen Rabbit. Anyway.
So Batman wakes up, or Bruce wakes up, excuse me. And he's like, oh, I'm being swallowed up by Dracula. Alfred says, 'twas just a dream, Master Bruce. And it's like, I don't know why you just said that.
He must have been thrashing around.
Yeah. Writhing and thrashing. People are treating him like Dracula's fucking son. They're like, Dracula Jr. is taking kids.
Right. They're making a more direct connection than really exists between Dracula and Batman.
Yeah, they really, it's a lot of circumstantial evidence. like
if you said Batman's look kind of like a modern day Dracula, it would take somebody like a couple of thoughts to get through that. They'd be like, no, I don't think so. Wait, maybe. Well, not really. Well, maybe a little bit. It would take, right. The bat imagery and the cape is really all it is.
And the night creatureness of it.
Creature of the night, sure.
And the loss of blood.
Right, when he's beating your fucking ass.
When someone confronts you, you are going to lose blood with this character.
You are going to leak blood either way.
Now, Penguin's in the graveyard, and the Joker just shows up. He's like, what the hell? He's like, yeah, that's what the fisherman said that fished me out, which that guy's dead, but anyway. He's like, so where's our money? And he's like, go away! And he's like, oh, it's down that crypt you're running down. Okay. Chases Penguin down. Penguin turns and shoots like a flamethrower at him, but Joker just gets out of the way and knocks him out with an extendo glove, opens Dracula's coffin, and Dracula just pulls him right the fuck in and converts him.
Yeah.
And Penguin is watching, and he's just like, ugh.
Right, like the whole time, Penguin is kind of like honestly trying to appeal to Joker. He's like, there's nothing down here for you, Joker. Like, he's trying to like tell him without telling him, like, there's a fucking vampire down here.
He's like doing code.
Yeah.
He's like tapping while he says it.
Blinking his eyes in Morse code.
And so he's like, he goes, he's kind of shocked, and he goes, breakfast in bed, fresh squeezed. He doesn't miss much of a beat.
He doesn't miss an opportunity for a pun, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, later we see an all-night blood bank, like a Blade 2 level blood bank, where it's like, hey, you want to donate blood at 3 a.m.? Come on down. Are those real?
No.
Okay, just checking if there's a thing I don't know about.
No middle of the night blood banks, as far as I know.
Yeah. New York doesn't have those specifically for vampires. No. The Joker comes in and the Batwave goes off, and he goes, oh, break in at the bank. And Alfred goes, well, we've got more important things to do. And he's like, it's the blood bank.
It's the blood bank, Alfred.
Let's deconstruct this for a second.
Maybe why would you tee that up for Alfred so you could come in with the, it's a blood bank. Just tell him it's a fucking blood bank, you idiot.
Yes, that's number one. Don't bury the lead here, Bruce.
What are you doing, Bruce? There are vampires. This is Dracula, you piece of shit.
Stop trying to be cute, you fucking ass.
Yeah, don't bury
the lead. On top of that, is the Batwave omniscient?
I don't know. Like, I feel like the Batwave like monitors police frequencies too, because when the Batwave goes up, Bruce is like, it's a break-in at the blood bank. That's all he knows.
But do we know there's no alarm? Like, the lady just gets attacked by vampire Joker.
That's true.
Now, this is the scene where they clearly had to color correct. They darken this scene up and they wash out the color of the blood, because this is the bloodiest fucking thing we have ever seen on this show.
It's grotesque. Joker breaks into the back and they bathe it all in green light, so the blood looks black, but he drinks gallons of blood. He has blood rain down on him until he's completely drenched in blood.
He licks it up off the ground
in a really extended, disgusting sequence. It's really foul and intense in this scene.
He drinks it. Also, blood banks. Has anyone seen one of these?
Nope.
Because this is basically like that scene in Harry Potter 5 with all the orbs filled with memories.
Yeah, it's the Ark of the Covenant warehouse just stocked with blood vials. So he just needs to...
walls and walls of like
single vials of blood,
of single vials of unlabeled blood in a what seems like room temperature room. Like, there's no implication that this is a walk-in refrigerator.
No, we don't see their breath or anything.
No, we just have to assume that this is what it is, or else they're just letting like blood fester. He drinks a vial and he goes, ooh, a bold finish of wild cherries with a hint of oak.
It's really gross.
It's really upsetting.
It like really upset me to watch this scene.
I was more fascinated by how obvious they had been forced to censor that scene, yes, that I was like fascinated by it. Cause I love when you can see the seams of something where you can see where a correction had to be made. It's like in Galaxy Quest where you see that she clearly says, well, fuck that. And they had
says,
to
well, screw
replace
that.
Replace it with, yeah, screw. But you can clearly see her mouth saying fuck. But apparently they wanted to keep the rating down, even though you get one fuck in PG-13. But
you do. It was a PG movie.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh, that explains it then.
Yep.
But it is, it's like that, where you see the scene and like this with the darkening of it. It, if you know anything about like movies and censorship and stuff, like that's such an obvious one that I was like really excited about what it was that they were having to blacken out.
It was, it's bad. Like, yeah, it's the gnarliest scene I think we've ever covered.
It's slick and bloody. It's so bloody. Like Joker is flipping around.
It's grotesque. Like, yeah, I'm not being hyperbolic for the sake of comedy. It is grotesque.
Yes. There's like one scene where Bruce throws a weapon and Joker just grabs two vials and like spins around one of the cases and he's drinking it. Like he's having a fucking ball in there, just guzzling vials of blood.
Gallons of blood, by the end.
They knock over, they collapse some shelves and it is fucking raining blood on him and he is just loving it. It's like a Slayer song.
It's raining blood. He's turned completely black by this. Yeah.
Yes. And he's on the ground fucking lapping it up like a dog. And then the next thing you see is Batman is putting garlic bombs like on his fucking fists and he just drills Joker in the face and
right
that
in
just takes Joker out. Yeah.
Knocks and that's why out.
That's why it seems to me like they're using garlic as a kryptonite allegory, I guess, in this case.
A little bit, but not like, super effective. Like he
the
has
punch,
to...
the punch wouldn't have done it, but adding garlic to it weakens the invulnerability of the vampire, where he can then do that. Because like when he was fighting vampires before, he could essentially everything was a shove, even if it was a high impact kick. They're just like, ugh. And then they just go back for it. Like they're not taking damage.
No.
The garlic is what ensures that the same action now causes damage, which is the same thing we see with.
It's like the silver mist bombs in Bloodborne.
Yes, exactly. Except I would not use that allegory for that exact reason. I don't know why I'm using Zack Snyder movies as the thing I'm trying to use. Like, no, it's like what Zack Snyder did. But anyway, I mean, it is just that whole scene.
That scene is wild. It's
big
a cool
asks.
It's a cool scene, but it really is grotesque. Like it's a disturbing sequence.
It's legitimately like watching something in The Thing, where you're watching. You're like, it's pretty cool. I feel super uncomfortable watching it.
Right. It's like the murder scene in Suspiria. In the beginning of Suspiria, where like this is a cinematic masterpiece, it makes me feel very bad to watch it.
yeah, but the old bed.
Yes, but the old bed.
Batman then brings him to the Batcave. He's like, "Time to get to work." And Alfred is just researching stories about vampires,
just looking up creepy ass pictures of vampires. Yes. What about this one, the Master Wayne? Oh yeah, that's real creepy.
So there's one of the pictures of vampires, and I don't know if it was done on purpose or not, and I don't know if you picked this up, but they basically drew Count Chocula in a vampire drawing.
Missed Count Chocula. That has to be intentional.
He's got like the widow's peak and like the high.
That has to be intentional.
And I'm looking at that and I'm like, I understand Count Chocula is designed to look like a character.
Like a vampire,
vampire etchings or whatever. But also it was so funny because I was like, that is Count Chocula.
Well, it's like
Alfred
is
looking up and researching Count Chocula.
Fucking researching Count Chocula. Count Coco Fang.
It says here, you can soften him up with milk, Master Wayne.
Spray milk. I filled all your bombs with milk. No, but it is like
room temperature milk.
Just like, yeah, warm milk. Like, milk that's been heating up against his body for the past 3 hours.
Curdled, pre-buttery milk.
Yeah, but like, I forgot what I was going to compare it to. So it's fine. We can move on.
It's a fun little thing. It's so then what they want to sort of express that time is of the essence. So what they're going to do is during these research programs, they're going to cut with these interstitials of vampires converting people to vampirism. And the first scene is right out of a fucking like a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, where it's like a little like they're having a curfew. There's like Gotham has kind of this curfew where everybody's getting inside. And there's a little girl, and this guy sees this little girl like laughing, like eerily, like she might as well be doing the 1-2 Freddy's Coming for You song.
Yes.
And this guy comes out and he's like, hey, little girl, you can't. And she turns around. And he's like, and then it just
eats his ass.
Cuts to the computer sort of doing some sort of like virus motion of the cellular structure. You can see it's like hitting the double helix of DNA. And he tries to use a solar generator on the blood samples he's treating, and it just fucking dissolves. So he's like, we're not there yet. Cuts to another one where an old man is getting taken out by some young vampires, some thuggish, ruggish vampires.
No respect for the previous, no respect for the greatest generation.
Oh, yeah, I tell you what. I tell you, three vampires came over that said, hey, buddy, you suck. And they're like, I thought you were the vampires. We're like, we know. It's hard writing one of those styles of jokes off the cuff of your fucking head, by the way.
You nailed it.
I don't think I did.
It's a simple pun. You just nailed it.
So Bruce is again trying and failing. Like time is just fucking moving. Alfred hasn't found much information. And we talked about this last week that Alfred's going to report. And he's like, well, it turns out.
I feel like Alfred
is a lot of fucking shit about this.
I feel like Alfred is searching the same book.
He's just reading one book.
Yeah. Still haven't found anything yet, Master Wayne.
And that book is Twilight.
Yeah. It's Breaking Dawn.
Yeah. Not even the first one.
Yeah.
Better, Master Wayne. He does find information about Carmilla Karnstein, who's like the bride of Dracula, who is, according to legend, her bloodthirst rivaled even his own. I think they're doing an Elizabeth Bathory thing, but, you know,
who knows? Not,
you know, mixing it together. And Alfred takes this information to remind Bruce that, you know, he takes this moment to be like, you know, even if the dark black heart of Dracula can find love, maybe there's hope for you yet. Alfred, you need to focus right now.
Yeah. Stop.
That's a B plot we're not willing to spend time on right now.
Why are you writing me poetry right now, man?
Yeah. Vicky then arrives, to which Bruce goes, is it Saturday night right now?
It's all right for fighting.
Yeah, it's all right for biting.
Saturday night's all right for biting.
He's like, oh, shit, I forgot about that dinner. And then we hear the Joker screaming in horror from his cage.
Yeah.
and he's like, tell her I'm running late. Alfred goes, gets the door. He invites her in. There's a little thing where he's like tossing the wreath of garlic out of the way so she doesn't notice. Then there's a silly little scene where the Joker eats a cockroach. We jump right back to Alfred and Vicky in front of Bruce, by the way. We jump back to Alfred and Vicky staring at the painting of his parents because he's like, come on, we'll look at a painting together. They fucking love looking at those pictures of fucking Thomas and Martha Wayne.
They really do, man.
And she's like, yeah, he must have a lot of fucking grief, huh? He must fear losing those he cares about, which must explain his difficulty with letting people get close. And Alfred is like half a second away from being like, get out, run.
Please, run far away and never look back.
Get away from this lunatic.
Never think about Master Bruce again, I swear. Please, I beg of you, I beseech you.
He's downstairs talking to a vampire clown.
He's listening right to us talk now. Right now.
Do you want that? Do you want a dude who hangs out with vampire clowns?
He is recording every conversation we've had in this house.
Miss Vale, I cannot stress this enough. You are a fine piece of art. You could do so much better than this absolute psychopath who has imprisoned me in his fucking servitude.
You could perhaps be dating Tom Hiddleston.
I bet he would do great on that. Perhaps a nice football player for the Gotham Knights. They could put you on the Jumbotron, and people will get very mad about it on social media.
Furious, in fact.
He goes, you have been most patient, Miss Vale. And she just goes, do I smell garlic? And he goes, that would be dinner. And she looks over at the clock and it's 8:45. And she goes, he's not coming, is he? And Alfred looks back at her all sad. And then it just cuts to Bruce drawing his own blood into a bag, which he then donates to the Joker's thirst.
Gives it to the Joker to eat.
Yeah. Oh, damn, you taste like Bruce Wayne. He's going through massive withdrawals. And he's like, where's Dracula? And he's like, dude, I can't tell you that. I mean, I'm enthralled. Like,
yeah, he controls my mind. I literally can't tell you that.
And as he says it in Dracula's voice.
Yeah.
He's like, look, I don't like the dude either. But I'm a vessel. What do you want from me?
The fucking weirdo.
And he's like, all right, well, then you're going back to fucking Arkham. So he's because he stood up Vicky, she's now at the train station because Alfred didn't drive her home. Alfred, there are vampires out.
Mm-hmm. There is a curfew, in fact.
Did she also walk to the fucking train station from Wayne Manor?
I assume she got a cab, but like, why wouldn't you just take the cab all the way home?
You're famous.
It's not like it cannot be that far. Like, Bruce doesn't live in like upstate New York or anything. He's right outside of Gotham.
It's one of those things where I'm like, she's like, hold on, let me take this murder train. Alfred comes down. So she's at the train station. Alfred comes down and he goes, astonishingly, she still speaks the world of you. He finishes work on the cure. He figured it out. He figured out the cure, tosses him a bag of blood. It works. He heals up and he has no memory of what happened at the crypt. He's like, where am I? He's like, where's Dracula? He's like, I'm looking at him, man.
Yeah.
Christ, look at you, you freak.
Jesus fucking Christ, have you seen what you wear on a daily basis anyway?
Yeah. Where's the penguin? Where's Penguin? Where's this cemetery? What the hell am I doing here, man? This sucks. You're going back to Arkham, excuse me. I was reading Gotham in my notes when I said Arkham. Batman figured out, you're at Gotham. He's at Gotham Cemetery, let's go. He then is like, I'm going to mass produce this vaccine. And while I talk about this convenient amnesia, so he starts making like cure bullets.
Yeah.
EpiPens.
Little cure EpiPens that have like a couple of charges in each one.
Now, cut to Vicky's story at the train station where Alfred did not offer her a ride home. So she's just there alone. Dracula comes up to her and he's like, you know, it's pretty crazy to be like here late at night and all the, you know, you shouldn't, you know, especially now I'll be here. Perhaps you could join me for a drink.
Especially now since Dracula is here.
Or somebody. Or the Batman.
Somebody is similar to Dracula, perhaps the Batman. Anyway.
Perhaps somebody who is
come
very
back to
sexy,
my house, please.
Very Eastern European, very sexual. She's like, no. And then calls Bruce, but he doesn't answer. And by the way, the Batwave lets him know she's calling.
It does. He ignores her call.
Yeah. Sorry, Vicky. Tonight I have a date with Dracula. You're not the only one, Bruce. She's annoyed, but leaves a message. So we have an equipping montage, and Alfred is like, perhaps you could wait for sunlight. So maybe you could, you know, attack at the correct moment.
It is the conventional wisdom.
Yeah. But then he's like, only after you return Miss Vale's call. And he does. And she's like, you'll never guess what fucking jerk I just saw.
Figured Dracula? Yes, Dracula.
Thought you'd help me out. And so he's like, all right, call her back. Calls her back. Her phone's on the fucking ground. He has a flashback of Dracula being obsessed with her necklace. Or her ass. Who
that
knows?
He never mentions again.
Not once. The voicemail mentions that she saw tall, dark, and creepy. And Bruce is like, I think Vicky's been patient enough. He suits up and takes off with a bandolier of medicine all over him.
Hell yeah.
He's strapped with these EpiPens. So now we get Dracula's plan. And he's like, please, take these loose ashes out of my sarcophagus.
It's a loose bone shit.
Her urn
out of
doesn't
my
even have,
box.
Her urn doesn't have a top.
No.
And he's like, basically finds out that Carmilla was killed by sunlight. He's like, so that's not like a drop of blood. That's not going to do it. She was killed when she was exposed to the sun. And that means that she requires a life essence to do that. And all I could think of is because the urn was uncovered, I was just like, imagine if like other shit got into those ashes. So when she formed back together, there were like cigarette butts sticking out of her head and stuff.
Like fish food.
Yeah. because literally, like, this was like a secret hidden topless urn. Yeah, Carmilla went topless.
Just a nail in it.
That traveled across the sea. Not everything is going to be there still. That thing would have been spilling like double dare.
It's all clumped up like old sand.
Oh, yeah. Cat turd sitting in there. That would have been pretty good. Just a big old cat turd sitting in her fucking body.
Yeah, like a three knuckle cat turd.
What a glorious way to describe a cat turd. I'm never going to forget
that.
You know
exactly what I meant.
I do. I 100% do. Yeah. Tootsie rolling. So basically, he places the ashes on like a Frankenstein-ish kind of slab, suspends it over Vicky, who's like resting like on a coffin under a spell. He then starts using her soul to resurrect his wife.
My wife.
My wife from Romania.
Very my nice. Romanian wife.
Because he's like saying like blood isn't the way it is. Because she's fucking dust. She needs a life force. So then Batman enters the crypt. And he's like, oh, the catacombs. Looks like we both fuck with the catacombs here. And he's like, I guess that's how he was able to bypass all that Christianity upstairs. Dracula is immediately like, we have an unwanted guest. Perhaps somebody should go eat his fucking face off.
Bite the features off of the front of his skull.
So classic vampire movie thing we have where like all the vampires go to defend their master. And now we have a fucking badass montage of Bruce just beating up drone vampires and curing the shit out of them.
Just curing dozens of vampires.
I practically wanted to play Ballroom Blitz while that fight was happening.
It would have been appropriate.
Yeah, it's like it's a Ballroom Blitz level montage. Actually, that really would have been good for that.
Yeah, they should have paid the money like for that. Lightning.
They should have invested doubles the budget.
It was frightening.
Everybody was grooving. And so basically, like, at one point he gets piled on and he explodes a garlic bomb on them and that causes them to disperse, which is fun. And then it cuts to then snapshots of him curing people with violence. Like it leaves from the montage and now it's like a snapshot montage of stills. Like they ran out of their animation budget.
Yeah, you're right. I think they did.
Yeah, that happens.
They repeat a lot of animation in this.
That's smart.
They repeat a lot of like, Batman tinkering with the sun device and the different cures in the Batcave. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just repeated a lot of other animation as well.
Yes. They all heal up. Two of the people that heal up are cops and they're like, what are all these lost ones doing here? We got to get them out. What are we doing here? So that shows that there are people that are taking point to help the lost ones escape. Batman then shows up and immediately hog ties Penguin with a grapnel gun.
Hell yeah.
Would have been so funny if he just hit Penguin in the face with it and it just sliced right through his brain.
Just like gave him horrible brain. Like it just dents his skull. One eye goes red. Blood leaking out of his ear. Oh, jeez.
Jesus. Now he needs to be.
That's a real cowardly and superstitious lot.
I damaged his cowardly and superstitious brain. he then goes to fire the last EpiPen at Dracula, but Dracula's like, look into my eyes. You're being hypnotized. And it works.
Yep.
He drops the fucking vial on the ground. And this is where we see Bruce inside the mask.
Yes.
It's really cool.
It's cool. Like, it's like the Iron Man shots, sort of.
Yeah, but it's from like from a side profile. So you see the mask go down in front of it. It's like Dredd's helmet.
Yeah, that's a better comparison.
It's like Dredd's helmet. Like it's that kind of a thing. And you can see the white lenses of the eyes, which I thought was really cool too. Because like that's the first time we've ever seen that the head
the inside of Batman's mask, yeah.
Yeah, I really, really liked that. A fascinating answer to the stylistic choices of this specific Batman's design. I love that they added that in there. Fucking rips.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
So Vicky starts fucking rotting. as her life essence is pulled out of her. And Dracula's like laughing at Bruce as he's like, and Bruce is like thinking about the childhood tragedy. See, we see flashes, gunshots, bats. And then it sees him pick up as a kid, pick up the dream pearls. And now he's an adult. And now he gets up and is now Batman. So he breaks through Dracula's control and then just fucking like bazookas Carmilla's dust and like fucking kills. He kills Dracula's wife. Just straight up is like, nope. Vicky's soul is restored. He got walk and Dracula's like, ah, no, this I'm going to back up for a reason. I don't
this
know.
This is shit. Fuck.
This is bullshit.
I was going to get laid. Bleh. It's finally, so hard for me in this century. Bleh.
Yeah. I needed to resurrect dust to have somebody willing to fuck me.
Bleh.
Blah. No, blah.
Bleh.
But.
Bleh.
Bleh. He starts crying like Lucy. So Vicky runs. Penguin's like, hey, Master's not there with you. Batman realizes that the caves, he hits it like, oh, we both fucked with the catacombs. I could probably get home from here. So he triggers the bat wave to like triangulate his position. And Alfred's just watching this being like, well, this is new. What the fuck is happening here? And so he's like, okay, well, I hope this is good news because fuck, man, this could be a problem. Vicky is running from the Penguin. He like cuts her off and she just buries her knees in his nuts.
Yeah, she rocks him right in the snowballs.
Yeah, it's like a Muay Thai knee.
Yep. Cracks them. Like cracks those Emperor Penguin eggs.
Yeah, just.
Ah, my nuts. My fucking mouth.
The Cobblepot line dies with me.
She kneed him so hard blood came out of his dick.
Straight up.
Yep.
Just. Batman's keep running and so now there's this really interesting chase that ties back to the one on the buildings, but Batman is basically accepting that he's going to be taking some beatings and hoping that he gets like tossed. He's working his way in one direction. And every time Dracula gets a hit on him, it sends him further in that direction. So Bruce is like kind of baiting Dracula to in the pursuit.
Toward the Bat Cave, we learn.
Yes, he's working his way to the Bat Cave.
Yeah.
And
but at first, it just seems like Bruce is getting his ass beat.
Yeah, which he is.
He is. You know, he is.
He's taking a fucking beating. And Alfred's watching it, and the fucking dot is moving real fast coming to his way. And he's like, I do hope this is a positive turn. And it's like, Alfred, you need to get a gun.
Something. Do something, man.
Cover yourself in fucking garlic, man.
Man, activate the bat wheels. I don't know.
Bam comes out and is immediately like, oh, the oil is sucked out of him by Dracula.
Just fucking bites his fuel injection line.
Dracula has a monster truck.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep, hey. Now we're talking.
Hey, there we go. We made bat wheels happen. It's like, I'm surprised Alfred has not sewn together a bat suit made of garlic at this point in time.
I'm assuming he's sprayed everything in garlic. He's got garlic in his underpants.
Yeah. Just put a super soaker with like garlic infused olive oil in there. Actually, that would be like never mind. That's a Bordello of Blood reference.
Probably, yeah.
Right? All right.
This is something I do.
So the screen goes out on the computer and we hear an explosion. As Bruce has sort of thrown his last batarang through, and Alfred looks to see Batman, and then it's actually Batman being held up by Dracula, who fucking tosses him, then tosses the Batmobile just to be a dick.
Right. Just flips it into the water below, like a real piece of shit.
And he's like, I know I said that it's a pity to waste a life when one could be servitude, but I'm going to make an exception with you, and I'm going to
murder everyone in this cave. This is really pissing me off right now. He's embarrassed me in front of all of these women. I look like a total idiot. A real piece of shit.
Him and that Bruce Wayne fellow have been blocking my cock for the past several days.
Blocking cook.
You are blocking my cock. Impressive dwelling. It shall be your tomb. Speaking of tomb, Penguin has now cornered Vicky Vale in a tomb. And we're going to find out that that's the one with the treasure.
This is the actual mafia tomb that he was looking for in the beginning.
Alfred turns around. He's like, time for your medicine, motherfucker. and then shoots a fucking crossbow right into Dracula, who doesn't move.
He shoots a crossbow with the little cure,
the vial.
The yeah. cure vial attached to it, but it doesn't do shit to Dracula. It hurts him for a second. He's like, ew, fuck you.
No earthly medicine can kill a supernatural infection. I am evil incarnate. He's saying, okay, all right. So he did that. Batman is getting away, and he's like, go ahead, run, little bat. I'll find you. And he grabs that pole that lifts him up, that like magnetic bat pole, which I think is really great.
Yeah, his firehouse pole.
And he's talking mad shit. And he goes, no earthly medicine can kill a supernatural infection. I am evil incarnate. I am the prince of... And then it shows Batman just with the SL5, the fucking yep. Chekhov's son. And he goes...
He says, what does he say? He says, rise and shine, doesn't he?
He goes, I'm Batman. And you're... He goes, wait, Bruce Wayne is Batman? The one guy has been blocking me the whole time?
He has been really embarrassed. It's super embarrassing to find out that both men are in fact the same man who has been really making me look like a dumbass in front of women.
Yes. You have pushed my dick in the dirt for too long.
My dick is broken in half. It's very sore. It is sprained, Dick. You have smashed it into dirt so much.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne is Batman? He says something like, you're Bruce
Wayne.
He does
say Bruce Wayne is Batman.
I'm Batman. Well, because he goes, I'm Batman and you're dust. He then grapnels up to splash him with sunlight. And then just to have a little fun with it, he like power punches him while he's on fire, leaving just a fanged skull.
To just atomize his already dusted skeleton. So there's just a skull. I'd smash that skull too.
Alfred's
smash
like, oh,
it.
I'm going to have
smash
to
it.
He's like, I'm going to have to put this in the dustbin. And I was like, don't do that.
Don't do that. Smash it. Smash it.
You don't need an investigative reporter going through your trash to find that.
Feed that skull to Superman. Give that skull to Clark.
I wrote, keep it as this. Here's what I wrote. Keep it as a trophy, Bruce.
Oh, yeah. He did at least pull the fangs out and keep it in his trophy case, but give the bone dust to Clark. Have him eat it.
Now, it cuts the Penguin about to catch Vicky Vale when he's all of a sudden freed from the hypnosis because the guy is fucking dust.
He's dead.
And he's like, what the hell am I? Oh, treasure. And he's right. Fucking joked.
He has a great line that I wish I'd written down verbatim, but he's in the middle of saying like, your fucking blood is going to be great for Dracula. And like in the middle of saying blood, he's like, your blood is good. Wait, what was I talking about?
What's happening
like
here?
Michael
wow,
Shannon.
Look at all these riches.
It sounds like Michael Shannon losing his train of thought, and it's incredible.
That's a perfect way of putting it, because you're 100% correct.
I was talking about blood. Now we're in a fucking crypt.
And now he's
he's
arrested. Now, here's the funny part, is the Penguin becomes a patsy for like the most terrifying thing that has happened to Gotham
the
yet.
The worst crime in Gotham history. Like, the Penguin sucks and he deserves this jacket, but he does get blamed for all the abductions.
And the news reporters are there and they're like, oh, the people were apparently under Penguin's control with some form of hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And Penguin's being walked away. He's like, it's fucking vampires, man. Jesus Christ.
Shit, Dracula. Fucking Dracula was here.
And they're like, all right, you fucking lunatic. Get in the van. And then, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, what a sweet cover up.
Awesome. It's perfect.
Also, I love how Batman is furious about injustice, but this injustice, he's like, fuck it.
Yeah, the Penguin getting saddled with a crime he didn't commit. Yeah. Like, I mean, a crime
Batman's
he was
like, hell yeah.
Crimes he was complicit in for sure, but.
Yeah. Now, the news reporter is there and he's like, you know, actually, instead of reporting the news, she is the news. We got Vicky Vale. Hey, Vicky, did you see any vampires? And first off, like, calm down. She's a victim of kidnapping.
Also, she did. Like, she didn't actually get bit, so her memory is not erased. She does remember seeing fucking Dracula and a soul cairn and all that shit. Like, she remembers.
At first
that.
I was going to be like, maybe she didn't know because maybe she was hypnotized by Dracula.
she at least
come with him.
She at least wakes. Well, she may not know that Dracula was a vampire. That's fair. She wakes up on the pedestal and sees Dracula running out and then flees because Bruce says leave. And then she's dealing with Penguin. So I guess maybe she doesn't know that they were vampires. Look,
she's had a lot going on is what we're saying.
It's a lot.
And this guy is being like real cheeky about it.
Right. She's dealt with, at the very least, she's dealt with two fucking creeps that tried to murder her tonight. So
yeah, super traumatic.
Yeah.
See any vampires, Vicky? And she's like,
punches him in the face like Bonnie Bedelia in Die Hard.
Yeah, just right at the end of Die Hard. Yeah. She just goes, just bats. She says, kind of with a half smile, as we see Batman swinging proudly through the city.
Goes
back to being Batman.
Being Batman. I made you all safe. I made you all safe from Dracula. You should know this.
I hope you guys don't. I'm going to take out an ad.
See, I knew I saved you from Dracula.
Some of you might have been lost ones. That was Dracula.
It wasn't me. It was true.
I punched him to death.
I punched Dracula so hard he stopped being a vampire.
I beat him with my sun gun. What? Like the SL5 that Bruce Wayne was just showcasing?
No.
No, it was a different one.
Well, you see, Bruce is my friend.
We're buddies.
I think they've done
that already.
He takes
pictures of me.
Wait, no, Bruce takes a picture for the newspaper. Billionaire Bruce Wayne takes your photograph for the local newspaper for $200 a pop.
I want pictures of Batman. Commissioner Gordon saying, give me pictures of Batman.
Fucking J.K. Simmons played them both.
Thank you.
Bring me pictures of Batman.
Bring me pictures of Batman. And also a light that can call Batman. And Tom, that's a movie. We did a movie.
Technically, Jeff, the bat signal is a picture of Batman. We did.
No way.
Give me pictures of Batman. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. If you're listening,
this
that means
fun.
It was. This was great.
Good. It's jarring. It is jarring.
I was really into this movie. I really liked this movie.
I know we want to get into plugs and everything and get out of here, but I did want to just do a wrap up on
this.
That's
fair. So yeah, we should do that. I forgot.
It's jarring.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, go ahead. You go, Tom.
If you've been following along with us, you're accustomed to the Batman. The Batman versus Dracula is going to be a little jarring. As we said in the previous episode, it goes kind of hard right out of the gate in a way that you're not expecting, but it is a really cool movie. It's actually genuinely scary in a few parts. Like, they made Dracula a fucking problem in this movie. And it's just, I've just genuinely been impressed with the Batman, and this movie was better than I was anticipating. I thought it would be decent because the show has been decent. Yeah. It was better than I expected. So this was fun. I'm glad we got to do it.
I am too. I think there were stuff like it is. If you think Mask of the Phantasm is a bit darker than the animated series, this is, buddy, a little bit darker than that. The gradient is very vastly different.
I was going to say that that's even kind of more remarkable. So the Mask of the Phantasm isn't really that much darker than the animated series because they got away with a lot on the animated series.
They just got allowed to... They talk about death in the movie. That's the real... They talk about, and death is an impact. And in the animated series, it's mostly just the Wayne.
It's an abstract in the series. And then in the movie,
it's an absolute thing. And you get to see the Joker really kind of more unhinged as far as killing somebody and something like,
he's a hired assassin in Mask of the Phantasm. Anyway.
So in this though, it's like the darkness is very different. You know, there are slightly different changes. Like we talked about the Joker being a bit more intense and violent. But that could just be like, oh, here's the stuff that they never show us on camera. The stuff that they do show, the blood bank scene alone is
gnarly.
Really gnarly. Yeah, it is jarring.
Like it genuinely made me a little physically ill. I mean, it's all the blood is black during the sequence, but it's still hardcore.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was this movie.
That was the movie. Yeah. All right. But it was very good. And it's definitely worth watching. And if you have kids that are mature enough, like, I don't know, when I was 6 years old, I watched fucking RoboCop. Like, it's fine. But like, if you have some sensitive kids, your kids are too sensitive these days.
Weirdly, I also watched RoboCop when I was 6 years old. And we are not the same age.
we received unhinged experiences each.
We did. Yeah, check this movie out. And now let's move into plugs.
Yes. What do you got going on, Tom?
Well, if you're here and you're listening, that means you are a Patreon supporter. Thank you so much for continuing to support this show and this network. We love you very much, especially you. If you'd like, you can check out our store. If you head to gamefullyunemployed.com, you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs. You can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. A lot of stuff that's from this show specifically, little bits and stuff we've done. So check that out. And leave us a review anywhere you listen to our live feeds, which is literally everywhere. Everywhere you can find Gamefully Unemployed. Leave us a review. It helps a lot. Jeff, you go.
It sure does. And if you want to leave reviews for Jeff Has Cool Friends, which is available at patreon.com/JeffMay for early access to uncensored episodes with bonus content, as well as exclusives like Ugg Fine and early access to Nerd with Dre Alvarez, you can do that. Also, it's free everywhere. Jeff Has Cool Friends. Great show. Lots of fun. Come do that. I also do pack breakings on my show, I Must Break You, every Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock Pacific. You can check that out at my YouTube, which is at Hey There Jeff Rowe, the same as my social media, same as Tom. If you want to subscribe, you want to fucking hit like, you want to comment, like minimal work does maximal effect.
It's a lot. It does a lot.
And yep. I know that's almost like pathetic that we keep doing it at this point in time, but like, fuck man, like do it.
Yeah.
On top of that, too, let's see, all the stuff I do with Adam Todd Brown on the You Don't Even Like This Network. You can check out all the stuff like You Don't Even Like Sports, You Don't Even Like This Show, and You Don't Even Like Sports Cards. On top of that, you can see me live second Friday of every month at Blast from the Past on beautiful Magnolia in Burbank, California for Mint on Card. Until then, what? That's everything. Bye.
That's all. Bye.
Bye.
Soon, Master will drink your... blood and stuff. What am I talking about?
Our channel artwork is produced by Michael Vincent Bramley. You can find more of his artwork at instagram.com/mvbramleyart. Our episode artwork is produced by Justin Brown. You can follow him on Twitter at @JustinTBrown and find more of his artwork at artnessbyjustinbrown.com and justinbrown.info.